last week in Huntersville, a woman was sitting at a stoplight and her car died. And she tried to restart it, wouldn't start. She cut off the radio, cut off the air conditioning, anything that might affect the power, and she kept trying to start it, didn't start. Light turned green. A man behind her just starts leaning on his horn. So she just cranked it more frantically, it wouldn't start. So finally she got out of her car. She walked back to the car behind her and tapped on the windshield, asking to roll it down. He rolled down the window and she looked at him and said, "I don't know what happened. My car died, it won't start. So why don't you go up there and see if you can fix it, and I'll stand back here and blow your horn." Wouldn't you like to do that sometime? You see, our world, and pieces of every world in this room, are filled with lives that need fixing. Sometimes lives and relationships and circumstances that seem that we are dead can never get restarted. And the problem is that too many of us too often blow our horns saying, "Why don't you do something about this? Why don't you fix it? Why don't you get restarted and move from death to life?" What Jesus wants us to do is stop blowing our horns and step up and step out and fix it with His power, with His wisdom, and with His love. See, the challenge for us is we pray about it sometimes. We hope for change, but the only way change has happened, if we step up and we step out and we move from hopers to changers. Now, you're going to have to indulge me this morning, because I cannot miss this opportunity to use a secular example of what it means to move from hope to change. So this is Rosie the Riveter. There is nobody here this morning, I think. Jane and JC were here, would actually knew who Rosie the Riveter was. If Bob Romberg were here, he would know also. So Rosie was the woman poster child in World War II to move the women from their homes and into the factories to make the weapons and the planes and the provisions and all that the men who left the factories to go to fight the war needed in order to win the war over evil. This poster, this vision of what it could be like as a woman, in fact, moved the women from their homes by the millions into the factories. The factories hummed. The weapons and equipment and the provisions poured out and made it to the front, so that the hope for defeating evil became the reality of evil being defeated. Well, I tell you all this because my sister is here. I suspected she was going to be here. She only comes when my brother and sister-in-law come. I mean, she only lives 5 miles from here. But does she come here? No! But today she comes. So I knew she was going to be here. So Connie turned 65 on April the 1st. And Connie read somewhere that when you get older, not old but older, that you need to beef up your muscles. So Connie has decided she's going to become Rosie the Riveter. And she has found a t-shirt that speaks of what needs to happen. So let's see the t-shirt. "Training is the opposite of hoping." In other words, if you want to become a vision, you've got to do something about it. Another way of putting it is, if you want to change the world, you can't just hope about it. You've got to get up and do something about it. So here's Connie moving from Connie to Rosie the Riveter. I'd say she's got a little ways to go. But you notice she's using two ways, so she's double timing on Rosie. So you see, Connie's vision is that hoping to be Rosie is not going to happen if you just hope and pray about it. The only way to change from hope to the vision of what God wants us to be is to do something about it. So I'm thinking that one of these days, Connie's going to look like this. And if Connie needs any scarves, Sally has now got a whole drawer full of scarves that she can loan her. So enough about that, right? So the clear message of Easter, which is only two Sundays ago, is that God wants us to move from hoping to changing. To changing the world, at least a little piece of our world. And the great good news is that Jesus did not expect us to do this by ourselves. What we know is that God sends the power of His Holy Spirit to enable us to change the world. By ourselves, nothing can ever happen. It's only by the Holy Spirit that all change is possible. That's why God guided me, as I told you 2 weeks ago or last week, while I was out running and said, "Fred, it's time to talk about the Holy Spirit." Because there's a lot happening in the life of Meadow Lake, but there needs to be more power to make the changes that Jesus once made through us and to us. And so we're exploring in this series this spring about how to plug in to the power of God's Spirit and what happens when we do. Well, today God tells us about what it is the Holy Spirit gives us in order for us to have the power that we need, and in fact reveals to us the purpose of our lives. God does this morning through two interrelated letters. One is Paul writes his first letter to the Christians in Corinth. He writes this letter because it turns out they have forgotten about the power of the Holy Spirit. Then each one of them has been given a special gift in order to live out what it is that God wants for them to do in their lives. And Peter writes his first letter to the Christians everywhere, because what he's seeing as the new church begins to rise up and get too organized, that the church has forgotten that it is only by the power of the Spirit that the world can change, and has forgotten the purpose of our lives. So today, these two letters speak to us at Meadow Lake, Christians at Meadow Lake, to offer us the gifts of God's Spirit, the promise of God's Spirit, and the purpose for our lives. Here's what our scriptures say to us this morning. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, I want you to know how God works. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are many varieties of actions of the Spirit, but every person is given something to do that shows who God is, for the benefit of all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, to another a message full of knowledge. The same Spirit gives faith to one person, to another person, the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to perform miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, to another the ability to determine the difference between the gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. All these are the work of the Spirit, and He gives to each one just as He determines. Peter says, "Each of you must use whatever gifts you have received from the Spirit to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. If anyone speaks, they should do so with the words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. So that in all things God is praised and glorified through Jesus Christ." These few verses spell out, Sally, Patty, those of you who keep asking me this question, what is the purpose of my life? Well, this morning, God gives you the answer. You ready? Here's the purpose of your life. Is it up there? There you go. The purpose of your life is to glorify God by serving others as stewards of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's been baptized has the Holy Spirit living in us. And these gifts can come alive in us to change the world around us when we open our hearts to use His gifts as stewards. We don't own these gifts, my friends. We are caretakers of the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. We are stewards to use these gifts, as Paul says, to benefit all people, to show all people who God is, so that all will come to praise and glorify Him, Peter says. You see, God's Spirit lives in you. God will give you the Spirit to go out and be stewards of His gifts and to meet the needs of all people in your life so that they will know who God is and to do what is good for them. But right there, when we read that and hear that, we have a choice. And the choice is like the two seas in which Jesus walked. One is the Dead Sea. It's called that because the water flows in the Dead Sea, but nothing flows out. And because it doesn't come out, the sea is dead. It gives no life to anything or anyone. The Sea of Galilee, which is actually a lake, a freshwater lake, the actual literal name of Galilee is Great Heart. It's called that because it is the heart of a whole region called Galilee. And it provides fresh water to the village and the villagers, giving life to thousands of people over hundreds of square miles. So you see, the point of this message this morning is you can be like the Dead Sea. You can just say, I've got God's Spirit and I'm keeping it to myself. And your life in God will be dead. And you will not give life to anyone in your life. Or you can say, I am ready for the Holy Spirit to work in me. Not to keep to myself, but to flow out into the lives of someone who needs to know who God is and who needs some good that God can give them in their lives. I want you to understand this. This is an important thing that I learned fairly recently. I had a false understanding of the Holy Spirit's gifts. There is no limit to the gifts of God's Spirit. Paul lists a few here. There are about 20 more listed elsewhere in Scripture. But our Scripture makes it clear there are many varieties of gifts. God's Spirit gives gifts to every person to do good for all people. Now, I used to teach that these were spiritual gifts, which made people think it had to do with something, the Spirit and not life and action. I used to teach that the gifts were limited to the ones that were in the Bible. That's false. And the church has done a great disservice by preaching that and saying that, as did I. Because the truth is, there are as many gifts of God's Spirit as there are people who need God's Spirit. There are as many gifts of God's Spirit as there are those of you who want to live out the purpose of God in your life. Now this morning, what God offers to us is the way to connect with the Spirit, the gifts of God's Spirit this morning through three, shockingly three. And I'm going to call these three proactive purpose providers. If you can say that quickly, you can come up here. And so that you can remember them, another memory tool, they all begin with S. All ready? So the first proactive purpose provider is this. Seek a need to serve, and the gifts of the Spirit will come. We seem to always go the other way around. Let's look for a gift and then we'll find somewhere to give it. No, that's not the way the Scripture works. What the Word of God says is find the need, and God will give you the Spirit to meet the need. See, this is what Paul prescribes. There are many variations of the actions of the Spirit, but every person is given something to show who God is for the benefit of all. You see, if we want to discover and receive and give and change the world and the lives around us with the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit of God, then we simply need to seek the person who needs the power of God in their life. Now, I discovered a simple way to do this. I discovered it after I came here, and I was struggling about figuring out where the Spirit can work in my life to touch your life. And so I discovered this prayer. It's called the Use Me, Lord prayer. Here's how it goes. Use me, Lord, to show me someone who needs encouragement, healing, love, guidance. Tell me what to say. Show me what to do so that I can meet their needs and give glory to God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. That's it. So, we're going to pray this together. Y'all ready? Can y'all do this with me?
Yes.
Because you know what your handout is going to be, don't you, at the end of this worship service? That prayer. So we're going to get started right now. Let's pray it together. Use me, Lord, to show me someone who needs encouragement, healing, love, and guidance. Tell me what to say. Show me what to do to meet their needs, to give glory to God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Time after time, I pray that prayer. What I do is I pray for each one of you almost every day. You know that, by name. Touching your name as I go through the directory. And where I know there are special needs, I pray for that. At the end of that time, most of the time, not always, because honestly, I get busy after that. That takes a long time. And I got stuff to do. But most of the time, I pray that prayer. And at least half the time, here's what happens. The phone rings. The person walks in. I get a text. I know how to get text now. Just keep in mind that when I have to respond, I gotta go dot 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 dot. Y'all know that. Okay. So, and the person on the other end of the phone, or when they walk into my office, say, "Have you got a minute?" What that means is 60 minutes at least. That happened to me this week. I just prayed this prayer, and somebody called me in this church and said, "Pastor," I think that's my first name. It really is not my first name. "Pastor, here's what's going on in my life." And as they were talking, what I do and what I encourage you to do is I started praying the "Use Me, Lord" prayer, because I knew it was going to be a conundrum. So I listened to what they had to say. We prayed together. And the Lord opened up for them a path that they had not seen. I didn't see it. But the Lord gave me wisdom and words that didn't come from me. You're looking at my wisdom and words, people, you're out of luck. You got a problem with a construction site that's going down the tube. I can help you with that. But I cannot help you with what God wants to do in your life without the Holy Spirit of God giving me the gift to do it. So I want to share with you what happened this week on Wednesday. I share these things with you because I want you to understand this is not theology or a theory. This is fact. On Wednesday, I met with a group of men who went to Alaska together with our pastor to Sitka, Alaska, 25 years ago. And for the last 10 years, we've been getting together once a year in April to share our faith and where we are on our journey. Dick Ransom was a part of that group. In fact, he was the one who got us together 10 years ago to start reconnecting. So, in this group is a man who I would call in the past an intellectual Christian. Smart guy. Knows all the stuff. Doesn't have the heart. So last year, he asked this question. He said, "I don't get this answered prayer stuff. Can somebody talk to me about this?" Well, there's a real pastor in there, ordained pastor. He quickly said, "Well, Fred, why don't you tell him about that? Because I'm the other pastor in the room." He obviously had no interest in answering this question. So what I did is I shared with this man, and I'll make him nameless for a reason you'll see in a moment. I shared this with him. I said, "Here's the prayer I pray. Call it Use Me, Lord prayer." And stuff just starts coming out of the woodwork, and God gives me the gifts of the Holy Spirit to respond, to do what is good. So, this Wednesday, we came back together. And this man said to this group, before we even started eating, he immediately volunteered to give the prayer. He prayed this beautiful prayer. And then he said, "I want you to pray the Use Me, Lord prayer with me today." He said, "I've been praying it ever since last year. And what's happened? My whole life has changed. People used to be afraid of me. Now come to me. And the Lord is working me in amazing ways." He said, "But the great privilege and responsibility came to me last night. My daughter, I didn't know this, he said, who's been an addict for many years, called me. And she said, 'Dad, you know Trisha, that's not her real name. I want you to pray for her. I want you to do something for me. She's an addict too, but she's not getting help. Her parents are recently divorced, and the whole divorce thing is getting in the way. Her mother is denying the fact of Trisha's addiction. She needs to go to the treatment center in Dilworth, where I went, where I began to recover. But her mother will not face up to the fact, and neither will Trisha, of what she needs. I want you to call the mother, and I want you to go to see her, and I want you to get Trisha where she needs to go." So our friend said, "So would you pray with me now for the Holy Spirit to give me the courage to do this and the wisdom to know what to say, because I have no idea what to say, whether she'll even ask me to come see them." So about 9 o'clock, he sent out a text which said, "Pray for me because I'm meeting with them at 3 o'clock. The word is them. At 9:30 that night, we got a message by email. Here's what it said. "God is good. The Holy Spirit did its work. Shusha met with us. It was a long, sometimes angry, often tearful confrontation. I prayed for them. Then Tricia prayed. Then her mother prayed. And like a miracle, there was one space left open in the treatment center. Tricia is there now. Keep on praying. You see, I can't promise you that when you pray the Lord to use you, that the Holy Spirit is always going to come and carry out exactly what it is you want to see happen. But I can promise you this. If you do not seek to serve others with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, nothing's going to change. And I can promise you this, that no matter what the outcome, that you will receive power. And God will be glorified through you. And who knows? Someday, that person will see who God is. And God will bless them in a way you never expected. Turns out that God has a very special way for us to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and live out our purpose. The second proactive purpose provider, and it's this: look to our struggles to see the need and receive the Spirit. You see, every person in here has struggled with an illness, with an addiction, with a dysfunctional family, with a loss of a job, with some disappointment and failure in your life, including me. And all of us who suffer are in need of the healing power of the Spirit. Paul lifted up healing and faith as two gifts of the Spirit of God. Paul knows why we look to those struggles to be able to give faith and healing to the people who are suffering in our lives, because he himself said over and over again, I suffer this thorn in my flesh, I cannot get out. And what I want to do, I just can't do what is right. He suffered in body and in spirit. And then he looked to those struggles to seek the Holy Spirit to work in his life, and so then he was able to give faith and healing to the lives around him. His whole ministry was about rising people up in their faith and healing their bodies and their souls. I have an asterisk by this next point, which for you or visitors say, I don't know if I should go there, but I can't help it. I knew this intellectually. Now I know it personally. Because I have seen Sally struggle with a challenge of cancer. She has prayed. I have prayed. You have prayed. It seems like half the world's been praying to heal Sally, cure her cancer. We hope that happens. But the Holy Spirit has already healed Sally's spirit. Yesterday, she gave this powerful testimony to a room full of hundreds of people, when she said, through my struggles, God has moved me to move from living in fear to living by faith. And what that has happened for Sally is now she has seen that gift of healing and faith of the Holy Spirit in her life. And now she's giving that gift of the Holy Spirit to the people at the Levine Cancer Center. She is about to win the most popular award at the Levine Cancer Center. She knows everybody there. They know her name and she knows their name. Amen. They love her there.
That's all right.
Because she is giving them the faith and the encouragement not to live by fear, but to live by faith. When we struggle, that is when we get this gift of the power of the Holy Spirit to reach out and give that gift to others who struggle. And through her Facebook entries, I don't know how many of you are reading, But over and over again, people respond and speak to her on the street and say, "You cannot imagine how you have encouraged me and given me courage to face the struggle in my life." There are people's lives who've changed because Sally's struggle has led her to the Holy Spirit in ways that she will never imagine, people she will never know. So I urge you to look to your struggles to find the power of the Holy Spirit. I got an answer by this one too, Christine. Christine has shared with us, most of it, about the struggles in her life. And they have been significant. Not with Jim, of course. He's a prince. JB, he's starting to get there, a little bit of a struggle with JB. He actually has a mind of his own now. Can you imagine that? But what has happened to Christine is because of her struggles, it is her struggles that led her to come and give her life to you and to our young people and our families and our children. She has received the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit of healing and of faith because of her struggles. One mother said to me a couple of weeks ago, "Christine has touched the heart of my child in a way that no one else can. She loves them for sure. She has some special power that speaks to my child. And they are struggling to lift them up, to give them a deep faith in God that I never thought I would see in my child." If you're struggling, you look to your struggles to give you the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the gift of healing and faith, so that we will live not by fear or failure, but by faith. And when faith comes, healing is sure to follow. And as we experience the gifts of the Spirit of God filling us, we are ready for God's third proactive purpose provider, which is this: to show others God's purpose and give others the gifts of God's Spirit. You see, the tragedy of so many lives is that so many people do not know who God is. They've never experienced God in their lives. They don't know the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that can change their whole life and their relationships. And that's why God urges us to be stewards of the gifts you and I have been given. There are indeed many varieties of actions of the Spirit, but every person is given something to do that shows who God is for the benefit of all. What this means is that you and I have the responsibility and the privilege of offering the Holy Spirit of God to those who need it. I'm going to close this morning with what happened in the life of a friend of mine. His name is Bob Whittington. And I offer this to you because I hope it will inspire you to do the same. Bob called me several months ago to find out about my new life as a pastor. Well, my new life at that point was 7 years, but, you know, who's counting? Seems like more than seven some days, for you especially. So I told him about you. I told him about how full of love you are and how all of you know that the one thing after I'm gone from here, you're going to know who you are. Who are you? Exactly. He said, "Well, I know about that because I'm a teacher in high school. I've been that all my career after I got out of college." And he said, "I know what it is to show someone they're a precious child of God." And he told me this story about Anthony. He said, Anthony showed up in class. He was a new student. Bob teaches drama and speech. And he said, "I invited him to come up the board and work out some exercise we're doing in class." And Anthony responded this way: "I cannot do that. I am retarded." Well, something helped Bob just to sort of work through that in the front of the class and moved on. But after class, he called Anthony to his desk. He said, "Anthony, I don't want to ever hear you say that again. Because you are a precious child of God. God has given you gifts that you don't know you have. And you can be a gift to the world for God in some way. And we're going to find out what it is. And for the next 2 years, Bob worked with Anthony. They prayed together. They looked at what special gifts he might have that he could serve the world for God. What Bob said is 5 years later, he got a telephone call from Bob, from Anthony. Bob said, Anthony said, "Mr. Whittington, I have a great job. You know what I'm doing? I'm making documentaries about poverty and injustice in the world and how it is that faith-based NGOs are reaching out to change the lives of people who are suffering with poverty and injustice in ways you could never imagine. See, Mr. Whittington, you were right. God saw in me a special gift that His Spirit has now filled my life with, and now that Spirit of God is going out and showing who God is in the worst of all places." Bob Whittington gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to Anthony, who is retarded, he thought, but it turns out he's brilliant when the gifts of the Holy Spirit fill his life. Everyone here knows someone who does not know who God is, who has not experienced the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their lives, who's not living out that purpose of serving others with the gifts of the Spirit of which we are stewards. So I ask you to pray that prayer every day. And I ask you to have God lead you to that person who do not know who God is, and to show them that they are a precious child of God with precious gifts that they are stewards of, and lift up those gifts so they can serve the world, change the world. It may take longer than you think. I know y'all are shocked at this. But when I'm praying this prayer to God, I want instant results. Right? And most of the time, I want it exactly like I want it. Does that shock you? It shocks me. I would never be like that. So what it turns out is God's time is not my time. Have y'all ever experienced that? Anybody ever experienced that? Raise your hand. All right, that's good. I'm glad I'm not the only one he's discriminating against. So on Thursday, this is quite a week this week, I was having breakfast with one of our elders, so I was very late coming in. And I got here, and Katie said, "This woman called. She wouldn't leave her name or telephone number. She's going to call you later today." So about 5 o'clock, I get this call. And this woman says, "Pastor," obviously people just do not know my name, "Pastor, this is Nina Arrington." I meant to tell you about this, Sally. I don't know how many of you remember Nina, but Nina was a person that Sally and a few other people in this church reached out to through the WISH ministry program to help her and her 2 kids get their lives together. They were living in some motel somewhere, one of those motels. And we worked with her for about a year. We did not make much progress. Well, the reason we didn't make much progress is these boyfriends kept coming and going, stealing her money. She lost jobs. She didn't show up for work on time. All the stuff that just drives us type A personalities absolutely crazy. But what we did, apparently, was plant a seed. Nina said, "I'm calling you, Pastor, to thank you." She said, "You know, you and Sally always told me and my 2 children that we were precious child of God. And that God would work in our lives to do amazing things. And I know when we were with you, it didn't look that way. And I know we just disappeared and you didn't know where we were." And she said, "But today, God is at work. I started praying again. I started going to church. And I remember what you said about us. Now I have this great job in this office, an office, where I'm the receptionist. And what I get to do every day is to share God's love with people who come and go in kindness and patience, helping them find their way through what it is our company does." She said, "Our 2 children, who both of whom were flunking out of school, all are on grade level. They're all making good grades." I said, "Good grades?" She said, "Well, there are a few C's, but A's and B's and a few C's." She said, "Now I'm married to a good man. He runs his own small construction company. We're in a nice church." And she said, "We're teaching Sunday school." And she said, "You know what we tell those children? You are a precious child of God. And God's Spirit will gift you with what you need for your life to be changed to be what it is He wants it to be. I hope and I pray that when you leave here today, you will believe that the Holy Spirit can work in your lives and the lives you touch in ways you can never imagine, because with the Holy Spirit, everything is possible. That's the purpose of your life. Get on with it. Amen.
Please stand.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the
and the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to this day and every